Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Lawmakers in the House are reconvening this hour to try again to elect a speaker for the new Republican majority after Kevin McCarthy lost three rounds of voting yesterday. GOP Congressman James Comer.
We've got to get to 218. Nobody's going to get everything that they want. I don't think Kevin McCarthy's the perfect speaker, but I believe he's the right person to lead our conference at the right time.
I'm Stephen Portnoy.
This is not a good look.
President Biden tells reporters the world is watching what's happening here in Washington and that it's embarrassing that Republicans have been unable to elect a speaker. He added, quote, I hope they get their act together. The president spoke before he headed to Kentucky, where he was to appear with top Senate Republican Mitch McConnell to celebrate federal spending on a new bridge connecting Cincinnati and Covington.
Former President Trump urging Republicans to vote for McCarthy, close the deal, and take the victory. Buffalo Bills safety Damar Hamlin is still listed in critical condition at a hospital in Cincinnati after he collapsed and went into cardiac arrest after a tackle 2 days ago. His uncle Dorian Glenn is hopeful.
People don't even know us as showing love and support, man, and we're so thankful for that. I know those prayers is helping because he's definitely recovering. God got a mission for him, and that's why he's still here.
There's hopeful news for job seekers in a new report from the Labor Department. CBS's Sarah Ewall Weiss.
There were nearly 10.5 million job openings in the final day of November. That's roughly 1.75 jobs for every unemployed person in the United States.
It's a different story in the tech industry. Salesforce says it's laying off 10% of its workers and reducing office space in some markets. The U.S. Embassy in Cuba is issuing visas again today for the first time since a series of mysterious attacks on American diplomats 6 years ago. Correspondent Cammie McCormick reports.
Cubans are now the second largest nationality after Mexicans appearing at the U.S. border. It's the largest exodus from Cuba in decades. And the U.S. Embassy in Havana could issue 20,000 visas a year. Visa services were stopped after U.S. Embassy personnel suffered a series of health problems in 2017. Some alleged sonic attacks, many of which remain unexplained.
In the U.K., the Harry Potter books were one thing, but security surrounding the release of a royal tell-all by another Harry may rival the J.K. Rowling series.
It becomes a point when silence is betrayal.
The Times of London reports publishers of Prince Harry's memoir Spare are sparing no expense to prevent leaks ahead of next Tuesday's release. Penguin Random House will reportedly deliver hard copies to bookstores last minute. This is
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
You'd never knowingly feed your pup mystery meat or spoiled grocery store food, so why are those some of the most common protein sources in kibble today? Yep, the dog food ingredient, meat meal, can be made of spoiled supermarket meat and packing plant scraps.
I'm veterinarian Dr. Marty Goldsky. Your dog needs a biologically appropriate diet similar to what they would eat in the wild. That's why I developed Nature's Blend, a freeze-dried raw food made with premium cuts of meat, omega-3 rich seeds, and superfood veggies and fruit.
Bailey is 12 years old. He has been on your food for 9 bags now.
Nature's Blend is pantry safe and has zero artificial preservatives, additives, filler, or meat meal.
He's got more energy, able to run around and play when our grandson comes.
For a limited time, save 54% off Nature's Blend and receive a free pack of premium dog treats. Go to drmartypets.com/Marty or text Marty to 511-511.
I can't thank you enough. He's 12 and I'm enjoying every day with him.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to one additional text. Text stop to opt out.
Medicaid and CHIP offer free or low-cost health coverage for children and teens. Hospital and doctor visits, prescriptions, shots, and more are covered. That's peace of mind for parents if a child is sick or gets injured. And parents may now be eligible for Medicaid too, even if they've applied in the past. Enrollment is always open. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update.
Reports for OWI arrests on New Year's Eve were low to zero in many parts of the listening area this year. Wausau reported 2, Marathon County had 1, and the Rhinelander and Oneida County Sheriff's Department records had none. Many police departments are utilizing social media as a way to encourage people not to drink and drive. Stevens Point allowed free overnight parking on city streets on New Year's Eve. The U.S. House Committee investigating the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol released more documents on Monday detailing text conversations between GOP members about sending fake Wisconsin electors to the Capitol. Text messages show that Republican leaders wanted to find a way around the Electoral College and that Senator Ron Johnson argued for the legislature to choose the electors in the 2020 election. In response to these released documents, Senator Johnson accuses the January 6th committee of trying to smear him. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Overcast skies this afternoon with a chance for rain becoming mixed precipitation. High temperatures reach up to 34. Southerly winds around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Snow likely. Lows dip down to about 30. Snow likely again tomorrow. Highs around 33. Cloudy skies. 1 to 3 inches of snow today through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 34.
As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you for joining us on your lunch hour. As always, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. I'm pretty happy that we got that on camera of us all playing our respective instruments for On Wisconsin. We are going to talk about yesterday's inauguration, and here to join us and give his thoughts on the ceremony, the speeches, but maybe not the gala, because it sounds like you did not go. Your invite got lost in the mail too, right, Dan Schaefer?
Yeah, lost in the mail. I'm not fancy enough to go to these Madison parties at the inauguration. I'm just gonna hang out here in Milwaukee and, you know, eat pizza with my kids.
Yeah, fair enough.
Sounds amazing.
All right, so we were on air during the actual rotunda swearing in and the speeches, and I think there was a marching band of some band from, I'm guessing maybe it was West High School, I don't know, was there, but it was full. I saw some pictures. I had it on streaming, but obviously we had a live radio show, so I did not get to watch much of it. Were you watching the live coverage of yesterday starting at 11?
I watched the whole thing. You know, it was, I like these big ceremonial type of things that government does when everybody starts out these sessions with, you know, saying, oh, we're going to be bipartisan and we're going to work together. And like all these wonderful platitudes that will, you know, immediately be chucked out the door as soon as, the rubber hits the road. But I like the, you know, the symbolic message of it, to just like the reset, the starting something new, the over the top pomp and circumstance. And then you had, you know, things like Tony Evers getting up in his speech, and he's going to go up and play the hits now. So he started his speech by saying, I'm Tony Evers, and yes, I'm jazzed as hell to be sworn in as the 46th governor of the great state of Wisconsin, and ended his speech, you know, as only Evers truly could, with Wisconsin, let's polka tonight and let's get to work tomorrow. So he's just really playing the hits to start things and close things. I feel like that was really a theme throughout of it. It was just, you know, all these guys saying much what they have throughout the campaign.
Were there any mackerels thrown in there?
I don't think there are any holy mackerels thrown in there. He didn't, you know, swear anything past the jazzed as hell. That's when, you know, Evers is really fired up, when he drops a BS line or something like that in
or
there.
GD?
I feel like we should come up with some sort of Evers anger scale, where it's just like, you know, the BS. I'm trying not to swear on live radio here, so I'll just kick it back to you. But I think, you know, we should really get something like that to talk.
I mean, truly, the Obama anger interpreter was one of the best. And so I don't know what that would look like as a Wisconsin version for Tony Evers, but there's something there. Greg, get on it.
All right, fine. I feel like the top would actually not even be swears. It should be like, now you've done it. And then his eyes just light up with fire, like, oh no, Tony's gone nuclear.
Does Tony Evers as Homelander?
Tony Evers saying something like, listen here, buddy. And it's like, whoa, we gotta take a step back there.
We've unlocked Oplander.
That's it, Oplander.
So I think you make a good point, though, because I feel like on both sides right now, there's been sentiments about not real compromise, but like lowering the temperature between things that Brian Schimming has said in his newly elected position as the GOP chair. Voss has even said a little bit of like, well, we're not going to reintroduce bills that we know he's just going to veto, that Evers has said, you know, what do we need to do to get some of these appointments through? And so do you think it's all, we're not going to swear, BS? Do you think it's actually with good intentions? And do you think there's any chance of not, I'm not going to say everything's going to just be kumbaya, but it is, could it be different this time around, knowing that they can't just, they being the GOP, can't just dig their heels in as much? And to be fair, I've also heard that it's not like the Evers administration was always coming to the table either.
Right. So I think, you know, you think back to these last 4 years of Tony Evers' term, and so much of it from the Republican side in the legislature has been defined by this policy of obstruction, whether it's the gavel in, gavel outs, whether it's not bringing Democratic bills up for public hearings, whether it's not addressing the 180 appointments that never, that the state Senate just never took up, whether it's, you know, the guys like the letting people stay on the DNR board or the Technical College board, all of these things that the Republicans did to try to make Tony Evers a one-term governor failed. So you would hope that they have to, you know, alter their strategy a little bit, knowing that they were not able to make Evers a one-term governor. You know, they played basically 4 years of legislative keep away to try to keep Evers from doing even, you know, the types of things that had consensus popularity, things like expanding Medicaid, you know, legalizing marijuana, increasing school funding, all the different things that, you know, as Evers kind of quipped during his speech yesterday, are the types of things that pull off the charts on the Marquette Law poll. You know, he was, I think he had a line here in the speech saying that, like, I'm not naive enough to believe that 100% of the people who cast their ballot agree with me on every issue. Depending on the issue, it's probably closer to 60, 70, 80% based on the Marquette Law poll. So he is trying to, you know, put forward those issues where there is kind of a more of a broad consensus in the state of Wisconsin. You know, I don't think, you know, the Republicans are going to come and have these, this kumbaya moment that, that people might be hoping for. But I do think it's going to have to be a little bit better than last session, knowing that they failed in their ultimate goal of preventing that second term.
Well, because, I mean, the only reason why I'm starting to think maybe the difference between just words and actions is Fred Prentz stepped down. And yesterday, three of the Technical College board people, women, it was all women, right?
Yeah.
Had also stepped down. And so, like, there is some people saying, all right, we're, it's not necessarily the elected officials, but some of the appointed people who refuse to step down are like, all right, I'm gonna walk away now. And that's the only thing that's kind of been a, like a kernel of maybe it won't be as bad.
I think it has to do with what we were talking about in the earlier segment, too, with the House, is that that strategy just didn't work, so they have to correct now. And you're going to have the residual of, like, you know, have the people in, you'll have those people who will try to be obstructionists, but you got people like Voss who's just going to say, like, all right, let's just get things done. And will people in the GOP in Madison turn on Voss then?
Mm-hmm.
Can they? Because he's, I mean, I would say he's got a lot of power. So, but like,
he's also vindictive as AF.
Yeah, exactly. But like, is this what we're seeing right now in, like, the public, like, just, they're like, oh, we can't do this anymore. We got to get something done. It might not be everything we like or not a lot, but it's more than last time.
Well, Voss, so I happened to watch Voss's speech yesterday.
I was going to ask, okay.
Well, so it's always very funny to hear Robin Voss talk about compromise and bipartisanship and all of these things that he has done none of during his extended time as Assembly Speaker. And it's also very interesting to see Voss try to paint himself as some sort of moderate.
Yeah.
Just because there's like one or two representatives that are now to the right of him, that he, you know, people like Janelle Branchen, who he empowered through making her the head of the elections committee in the last session. So now he's trying to paint himself as the moderate. And I think he said at one point in the speech, you know, 90% of the work is in the middle in Wisconsin, and painting himself as kind of being part of that middle is very funny, considering the fact that we have more than a decade of evidence that he is nothing of the sort. But I think there, you know, there are these like incremental steps that he's kind of, you know, signified. Like, take the Milwaukee local revenue issue, mm-hmm. for example. 2 years ago, in interviews, he does these kind of like interview circuits with like the policy forums and the WisPolitics of the world, and in the kind of like off season before the session, and before, he said on the local sales tax, he said this is never happening, never, never, never. And now he's saying, okay, it's probably not happening. We want to see reform. We want to see privatization. We want to see blah, blah, blah. Well, that's a little better, right? Like, it's a little better that he is not just shutting down the entire thing. But again, he's not exactly the most bipartisan compromise type of guy, as much as he's trying to paint himself as that now.
And that's an interesting thing that I haven't dug in enough, because I heard that he's saying that. It's like, well, I want them to exhaust. I want the, you know, to Crowley, Common Council, Chevy, to exhaust their options of what could be privatized. And I understand the argument of efficiencies and all of this stuff with business, but ultimately there's things that are public goods. And when you privatize them, those private entities are looking to make money. They're not doing it because it is a right or a public good, right? Like they're looking to turn a profit on whatever they do. So like, I don't know. I haven't dug in and be like, well, what could we even privatize that would make sense and not just screw over the people who need these services?
When I worked for the city of Racine, one of the things we looked at doing was privatizing our garbage pickup. And we met with some companies and we found out in the long run, after looking at projections to what you're saying, they're looking to make as much money by spending as least amount of money, which means cutting things within their business, which means cutting services to the people. And we found out that privatizing garbage pickup in Racine would have costed more and been less of a value for the people. So whenever someone talks about the beauty of privatization, that's the first thing I always think about, is that scenario is like, it's going to cost you more in the long run and people are going to be more angry and there's going to be less recourse.
Well, you also put up in a position to give them a monopoly.
Yeah.
Who likes We Energies?
They're the number one energy source for you here in southeastern Wisconsin.
Does anyone like We Energy? No. Does anyone think it's working?
No. It's the same with Spectrum.
That's what they're saying. We need more We Energy style government in Wisconsin.
This is really working for everyone right now.
It should
now.
Just be called We Energy. Yeah. There's no more than one. Just We Energy.
All right. Well, we got to take a break, but Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area will be here when we come back. If you have any questions or comments for us, feel free to text them in 844-967-2789. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Stay with us.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crudités at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were crudy takes.
Crudies takes. See, man? It all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp.
I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. Greg Bach is here. He's very excited about this bumper music that Jane Mattenair on the board played. And we are joined by Dan Schaefer from the Wheaton Population Area. Greg, before we go back into yesterday's inauguration, you seem very excited about that bumper music.
That was Lemmy.
Who?
Motorhead's lead singer, now RIP, is gone now. But Lemmy, that was Lemmy singing an acoustic song, which, if you know Motorhead, Ace of Spades. Okay, I'm talking to my sister, apparently.
I think Jane gets it.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah, if there's any way you can work Ace of Spades into this soon, you can just hear what Lemmy's known for. But okay.
Okay, Lemmy. Dan gets it, too. I'm the only one who's lost a deer in headlights right now.
Oh, man, you're just not with what the kids are listening to nowadays.
And I just
Didn't you have a metalhead phase growing up, Kristen? Come on now.
I had a strong
musical.
Broadway. Yeah. Yes, Broadway.
I just had to use it because talking about Governor Evers and the name of the song is I Ain't No Nice Guy, which I just think is perfect.
Lemmy was, though. He was a sweetheart.
The amount of Easter eggs that Jane puts into this show is just chef's kiss. All right, so we're talking about inauguration. We're talking about the speeches, bipartisanship. And that was one of the things as I was reading people's coverage of yesterday is that right now, Devin Lemihu, Voss, they are very hung up on this flat income tax plan. And everything I understand this tax plan to be is that it would benefit people who are already making a lot of money. I would say it's probably still better than no income tax, which I know certain groups are really pushing for that too. And I did not listen to Voss's speech. So what were some of the things that he said about that that you would like to discuss, Mr. Dan Schaefer?
Well, first, I think it's important to note that this was something that the Republicans denied that they were running on during the campaign. a friend of As Goes Wisconsin, Phil Rocco, wrote a piece for the Recombobulation Area talking about the flat tax proposal that Tim Michaels floated. And we got all sorts of backlash saying, oh, this isn't a real proposal, this isn't that. And as soon as the election's over, LeMahieu and Voss are like, yeah, we want a flat tax. We want to have this upwards redistribution of wealth.
We're going to die in this hill during the budget cycle.
Yeah. So they told us, they got so mad at us. We even got pushback from like Grover Norquist over our piece on this, which was very ridiculous. And I can send you the link to the rebuttal that Phil wrote, which was hilarious. But they so insisted, they were so furious with us for saying that Republicans wanted a flat tax. And as soon as the election's over, they're like, yeah, we want a flat tax. So, Funny campaign politics versus actual legislating politics as well. But Robin Voss did bring this up again. He had kind of three main points as legislative priorities that he mentioned in his speech when he was elected speaker. Not quite as tumultuous of a vote to elect him speaker as Kevin McCarthy is facing in the House right now. But he did not get 100% of Republicans voting for him. There were 60 votes of the 64 for Voss. I'm still trying to figure out who those four votes are. I know Janelle Branchen is one of them.
Absolutely.
But you know, one of the things that he talked about as a challenge in Wisconsin is Wisconsin's demographic crisis, having no net population growth over the past decade. You know, it's a real mystery who was in charge that past decade. Who could have possibly caused those potential policies with people leaving the state? Who could it have been?
I mean, well, Scott Walker had that $1 million ad campaign. You're saying that didn't work?
Yeah, it did not work. You know, who we don't know who was in charge. We don't know who to pin the blame on for these types of things. Couldn't have been the unified Republican government that was advancing. You know, who knows? But he talked about a flat tax as a way to attract people to live in the state of Wisconsin, which I know, Kristen, you've talked about as something that has been floated throughout the campaign is really speaking to the millennial audience. You know, let's get rid of women's reproductive rights. Let's get rid of, you know, all sorts of different things. But, you know, if we have a flat tax, and one of the things that he mentioned with that, and he's mentioned in a couple interviews, I watched too many of these Voss interviews during these the pre-session thing, but he talked about, you know, retired couples, you know, making their primary residence in Florida or Tennessee versus Wisconsin. This seems to be a big concern of Voss's. And he even went as far as to say, you know, that flat taxes, and I'm going to quote here, he says, just to be clear, it's not about rewarding the wealthy, even though there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. That's a direct quote from
like a wealthy guy. Popcorn King of Wisconsin.
And he's talking about people, whether retired couples having their permanent residence in Florida versus Wisconsin, really speaking to the needs of the state of Wisconsin, really talking about the real priorities that we should be addressing in the state assembly.
Well, and also really speaking to the needs of the workforce that we so desperately need.
Right.
And I will say, I get it. I have wealthy friends who, when they're like, I should leave New York because I make a lot of money, and if I went to a place like Puerto Rico or Florida or Texas, I wouldn't have to pay this in taxes. And then sometimes they get there, they're like, I miss New York, right? Yeah. There's a reason why you pay a premium on some places to live, and that we are not New York, but we are also not Florida. You know how someone check the weather in Florida right now tell me
there.
The difference of how much more sunshine and temperature they have than us, right? Like, there's certain places that we're not going to be able to compete with because some people just want to have vitamin D in the middle of the winter, right? And there's different, it's 81 degrees there right now.
Yeah.
It's 37 here right now. And so I just don't buy that we will be a competitive place by simply lowering our taxes or eliminating income tax, because we need more to compete on than that, because we certainly don't have the weather. And now we're running out of time. Mr. Dan Schaefer, we'll have to have you back, not only again, but maybe for longer. Plenty of things to talk about. The budget, Supreme Court race. I'm sure you'll be writing about all of it on the Recombobulation Area. Thank you, as always, for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, we'll talk to you next time. Well, when we come back, a conversation about how many friends, specifically good friends, do you actually need for optimal health? We'll be back. This is Ask Us Wisconsin.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Light the lamp.
All the way down, he scores! A 200-foot empty net goal for the captain.
And defend the ice.
Driving in, centering pass. Oh, great sliding left pad save.
This is America's college hockey capital.
Fire one towards the net and scores.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
This message is sponsored by WISCaregiver.com.
Are you ready to start a meaningful career? Now you can get paid while you receive free certified nurse aide training. WISCaregiver.com will connect you with employers all across Wisconsin. You choose the location where you'll earn while you learn to become a CNA and receive a $500 bonus. Get paid while you receive free certified nurse aide training through WISCaregiver.com. Get your free start in healthcare. Register today at WISCaregiver.com.
One day it's bone-chilling cold. The next, the sun is shining. Hey, it's Wisconsin. Don't like the weather? Wait 10 minutes. It'll change. Sooner or later, the snow will go away. But right now, it's freezing cold. And all that cold weather can cause freeze-ups in your holding tank or septic pipe system. So be sure that you keep an eye out for trouble. And call Crockett Septic to help you if you encounter a jam. Call Crockett Septic today at 715-712-3456. Crockett Septic, where the trucks smell like sweet cherry pie.
Crockett Septic serves you near or far. Holding tanks and septics pump right there in your yard. They got porta potties ready for you too. They'll pump away that stinky nasty poo. Crockett Septic, be there in a jiff. Crockett Septic, no more nasty whiff. Crockett Septic, they won't make you cry. Their bumper trucks smell just like cherry pie.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
No one ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Get in the game, join the conversation with WFHR's Playmakers. Call in Monday mornings from 10:06 to 11 with your sports thoughts. And Tuesday through Friday, listen in while we talk with some of the most insightful, intriguing people in Morning Magazine. Talk radio that speaks to you. Get in the game, join the conversation at 10:06 Mondays with Playmakers. And Tuesday through Friday, Morning Magazine on WFHR, locally grown radio.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. The Wisconsin DNR is asking you for help in spotting bear dens. It's part of a study that started last year and will provide new estimates of reproductive rates for black bears in each of the state's management zones. People are urged to report any information online about known black bear dens without approaching or entering them. Wisconsin currently has a bear population around 26,000, with hunters harvesting close to 4,000 each year. The state's residents now have until February 28th to comment on the draft Wisconsin Wolf Management Plan. The current plan, considered outdated, was written in 1999 and then slightly altered in 2007. The DNR says the goal is to ensure the state's wolf population remains healthy and secure while balancing the interests of the public. In sports, the Bucks beat Washington last night, 123-113. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Overcast skies this afternoon with a chance for rain becoming mixed precipitation. High temperatures reach up to 34. Southerly winds around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Snow likely. Lows dip down to about 30. Snow likely again tomorrow. Highs around 33. Cloudy skies. 1 to 3 inches of snow today through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 34.
To As Goes Wisconsin, thank you for joining us during your lunch hour. As always, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. Jane Matinair is on the board. Greg Bach is across from me.
Hi.
And we are going to have a non-political conversation. We're going to shift gears into a more emotional, psychological health conversation about friendship. How many close friends do you think you need? 844-967-2789. And I don't know. I don't know how many close. I am an extrovert.
You are.
I like people.
Mm-hmm.
I make friends easily,
you
I would
do.
Say.
Yeah, you did.
And yet I think there is a difference between quantity and quality. So what does it mean to have a good friend? And talking about this more from the actual health benefits because it has been linked to at least having one good friend, and that can be a spouse, a sibling, but like having one person and how much that is linked to, if not having that is linked to depression, anxiety, actual like real health outcomes as far as like heart disease, a stroke. And there was one study that said loneliness is as harmful to your physical health as smoking 15 cigarettes a day, which I thought was really interesting.
I saw that and I need to know that. I need to know their definition for this with loneliness.
Of like what that means.
What that level of loneliness means, because I don't want someone reading that who like, I don't want to invalidate anyone's feelings, but I think there's a difference between feeling loneliness, like, oh, I'm just feeling alone right now, and feeling like, and actually going through loneliness, and not to miss, like, I don't want anyone to misdiagnose themselves mm-hmm. and be like, oh my gosh, I gotta, you know, find yourself friends, talk to somebody, get yourself the help you need to get, but also let's understand what that term loneliness means, because that doesn't sound like a medical term to me. I'm not trying to take away from the conversation, and I want to have the conversation, but that actually stuck out to me really hard. I'm like, that's a hardcore correlation to make. So for me, Lisa.
For you.
Yeah.
Well, how many friends do you really need, Greg?
That's an interesting question. I've been thinking about since I read this article. I think that if it's healthy, I think if the friendship is healthy, if the relationship is healthy, I think I just need like 3 or 4, you know?
Mm-hmm.
In my life, the way I behave is I'm kind of an isolated person. So I tend to not go out. I'm more introverted. So that group tends to shift around. Like there's some people I'm close with sometimes, and then I lose touch with them, but then I get back in touch with them and they're still, I consider them good friends,
mm-hmm.
but I don't have that, like, you know, I don't know. I don't have that group of, I don't have the quick TV show Friends type of group where you're always in each other's lives. You're hanging out with each other. You're going to coffee. You're doing all these things. I've never had that in my entire life. So it was kind of, I don't want to say depressing to read this, but it did bring me down a little bit.
Why?
Because I always wanted that growing up, you know, not to get like super dour about things, but I didn't have friends growing up. I was a lonely kid. I was a very, I had kids I went to school with. There was kids I hang out with, but without getting into like the super duper, without me having to pay you for therapy.
Okay. I'll take it. I'll take the money.
But I just was not that kid. I just didn't have a lot of connections growing up. And that's something that's followed me in my entire life.
Do you feel like you have close friends now? Not to get continued no, therapy, but.
I do. I think I do have, I know I have close friends now, but even, but the level, or not the level of closeness, but like the way we interact is still, I'm still an isolated person. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not, like, you know, I, to this day, when I see friends of mine who I consider friend, like close friends, going out and doing things, they're like, oh, they went out to this thing and they didn't invite me. It hurts. And I hate that because I'm a 45-year-old man. I got bills to pay. I just paid my water bill. I got important things. I shouldn't be worrying about, oh, they went to a thing and I didn't. Okay. You know,
Yeah.
So I think like if you're someone like me, sad. If you're someone like me, I think you only need a few. You don't need a lot. No.
Jane, how many friends do you need?
Well, and I've been thinking about this as we've been talking about this, and I'm decidedly more like Greg. I'm certainly more introverted than you are, Kristen.
Well, I think a lot.
Most people.
I think there's like two people in my life that I think are more extroverted than me. My husband and our friend Sud, who just never need to recharge, apparently. Like,
wow.
They just could, if they could, they would go out and be with people every night. I sometimes at least need to be like, I need me time. But for the most part, like I get energized by being with people.
Right. Yeah. I would say like 5.
Yeah.
5 really close friends who you can call. I mean, I have one of my closest friends, Bubba. We haven't lived in the same state for 40 years. She lives in Texas. We became really good friends for a couple of months before she moved back to Texas. And that was decades ago. And we only see each other maybe every couple years, mm-hmm. if we're lucky. But she's still one of my one of my tightest friends. I can call her for anything.
Well, and apparently that around five is that number. So at least, and this is coming from a New York Times article I found called How Many Friends Do You Really Need? And by Catherine Pearson. And it is it's looking at the actual research. And so if your goal is simply to mitigate the harmful impact of loneliness, depending on how that's defined, you need one. You need at least one important person in your life, whether it's partner, parent, friend, someone else. But then there's this other idea of Dunbar's number. And it's basically that humans can only cognitively maintain about 150 connections, which is wild to think about when you flip around as far as what social media now has become.
Yeah.
Of, you know, the amount of people, like friend requests and stuff that I, especially as someone who puts themselves on the internet, the amount of people who are nameless and or faceless because they interact with the stuff that I put out there, but I don't know them.
Yeah.
And because I've put some of my stuff out there and myself out there, they feel like they know me because I do that. But those aren't like friends, right? And the world before social media, like 150 people seemed like 150 Christmas cards, right? Like that was like a lot, but that was like the people you've known in your life. And then inside of that Dunbar's number of 150 connections includes an inner circle of five close friends. And so I think you guys are both kind of right as far as like the people that are you really rely on, that you text, call, know you. You can be your worst version of yourself too, and not think that you're still putting on the facade of happy, charismatic, funny, whatever. And I'm trying to think now if that rings true, because I also think that there's a chance once you have your person being like a significant other, how much you end up putting a lot of that on them instead of additional those four other people.
And I think if you took my wife out of the equation, I think there's maybe two people I can do that with and feel comfortable. And not because I'm afraid of, like, I don't trust them, or I'm like, you know, like, I don't really like you, like, as a friend or blah, blah. It's because I'm so hyper aware of my own behavior and how that might impact your day and your, like, it's like, once again, we're adults. All these things I feel almost childlike or childish in a way, where I'm like, I can't sit here and tell you the things that are going on in my brain because I feel like you've got things to do and you've got your own things to deal with. So let's just, how are you doing? You know, like, so, you know, and I think that's, and that goes to the, I think that speaks a lot to men's health.
Yeah.
You know, and why we have such a hard time talking about our feelings. Even the most, like the most, the kindest men I know have a really, like, able to listen and talk and be sensitive to other people, have a very hard time talking about their feelings and making true male friends. That's very, especially as you get older, very difficult to do. They talk about that in the article as how it's hard for adults to. I would say it's even harder for men to become really close friends with somebody because we're just not raised to do that. We're not wired to do it, if you will. That's just my opinion, though.
Well, and it's interesting because I think about right before Christmas, Twitch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who unalived himself.
Yep.
And was this beloved. I mean, I remember the first time I ever watched him on So You Think You Can Dance, like All-Star season.
Mm-hmm.
This was before I think this was early aughts.
Yeah.
He's been in the public eye for a while, and he is an incredible dancer. He was on the Ellen show. He ended up being an executive producer on the Ellen show. Yeah. This radiates positivity, and was a dad. And like, you know, I think that shocked so many people. And I did not follow up enough because it's a weird celebrity thing as far as you get into someone's mental health. But it brings up the question of specifically with men, but almost anybody, of this facade that you put up. And it feels like to the outside world, and whether that's the outside world as a celebrity or the outside world just in your circle of friends or how you, the stuff that you choose to share, you seem totally fine. But in reality, like, you're lonely or you're carrying demons. And so I just think it's interesting as far as, I think that five number in the face of social media and these like popularity contests is a good thing to remember that, like, if you got somewhere between like two and six, you're doing all right.
Yeah, exactly. And I think most people would agree with you too. Like, I mean, people who are out there to get followers and friends on social media, they don't, you know, they're not, they're also not saying the same breath, I want to talk to all of them. I want to have a conversation with every single one of them. No, they don't. They want the fame and the fortune that comes with all those things. And that's fine. Go do your thing, Jelly Bean. I'm fine with that. But like, I think most people would agree. Like my sister and I are very different in that sense. Like she is just content with having, you know, a very small group of friends. She doesn't, I mean, she's on social media. She doesn't care about it. She's not out there to get people's attention. I'm a comedian. I literally stand on stage and beg people to laugh at me through jokes. That's not healthy thinking. But like, you know, like, so she, when I read that article, I thought about her. So I'm like, yeah, she's been like this her whole life, as long as I've known her. Is that she only needs like a crew of like four and she's great. She doesn't care about anybody else.
Well, and it's also interesting to think about, because as I've moved so much,
yeah,
you know, Wisconsin, LA, Berkeley, San Francisco, New York, LA, back to
humble brag.
No, I say that because I've struggled with this as far as in the attempt that I can make friends easily. I can the initial connection of, oh, look at how much we have in common. We have fun together. Mm-hmm. We can talk about stuff, but the amount of people that it's hard once you move to maintain that with, to the point that when I got back to Milwaukee and I moved to Milwaukee, because I'm from Madison, but it's like, I didn't know a ton of people when I first got to Milwaukee and I was nervous about getting a relationship with Mike as quickly as I did.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I can't just make all of your friends my friends, because what if this doesn't work out?
Yeah.
And luckily it has, but it's I've realized that in moving as much as I have, I've made so many friends. But in reality, especially when the measure is like how close you still are to them, because of course I still care about them, but that feeling of what have I lost because I've moved so much, and how many people I'm still not friends with that have known me for more than 3 or 4 years, like, and have that still, that they knew me at 20 and we're still good friends. It's like Dr. Mike.
Yeah.
And really that's kind of it right now. And like, there's a sadness there as far as like having those longstanding friendships, and that's on me for one, moving as much as I did, and also not putting in the work to keep them strong despite distance.
But the other question is like, did they put in the work? There's a whole different bunch of questions you can ask with
certainly
that. Yeah, but I would say, like, you know, I know we have to wrap up, but I just want to say the friendship that you and I have created, like, here's the thing, is I will say this for real, and a lot of people will use this. You and I have been friends for 2 years? No.
Only not even a year and a half yet. We met in October. We met in
2021?
Comedy Fest 2021.
Oh, that was 20. Yeah, we've been friends for, I feel like I've been friends with you for a very long time. And I think that speaks more to both your extroverted self as well as your desire to like want to be in people's lives and care. So thank you. I appreciate you.
We're going to keep talking about this. If you have thoughts about how many friends you have, how many friends you think you need, 844-967-2789. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Through all the hardship,
you know you're... If you're worried your friend may be struggling, remember, you don't have to be there to be there.
You can say how while you will get a fake tattoo. You can ask with an app if it works for you. You can write him a text or knit him a sweater. If you can't be together, you can write him a letter.
Whatever gets you talking.
Chat on the game, kick off your flip-flops. You can ask on your couch while you binge watch. However you do it, you gotta ask a friend. And if they don't share, you can ask again.
Whatever gets you talking. Whatever gets you talking.
Reach out to a friend about their mental health. Learn how you can help at seizetheawkward.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Sweetie, want some fruit?
You have to use the right tool for the job. A power drill is the wrong tool to slice fruit. Just like an antibiotic is the wrong tool to treat viruses, including colds and flu. Antibiotics are only needed for certain bacterial infections.
When they aren't needed, antibiotics won't help you, and the side effects could still hurt you. Ask your healthcare professional when an antibiotic is the right tool and when it's not. Visit cdc.gov/antibiotic-use.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a while, Gina Beauclair.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a while, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Locally Grown Radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Or fix for Progressive Talk from Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We got Jane Matinair on the board. We got Greg Bach in studio co-hosting. Jane, where are we on Kevin McCarthy trying to become Speaker of the House?
We are doing vote number five.
They're on five?
They're on five. Okay. Going into five.
Yes. You know what they say. Fifth time's the charm.
There you go.
On the homepage of AP News right now, there's a picture of Kevin McCarthy just like rubbing his eye and he's laughing. Yeah. But it's just like, I can't believe this is happening. I'm sure he can't believe, but it is. I think he lost another vote. If I'm reading that, it was a win from 19 to 20 votes of against him. So at least we'll have stuff to talk about until this is done.
It could be months.
It will never be done.
There's also a meme going around with Kevin McCarthy's body with a picture of Beaker from the Muppets. Beaker of the House.
The internet then, for the win.
Of course, my mind just went to Master of the House.
Oh, wrong. different kind of house.
Different house. Musical. Maybe they'll turn this into a musical. Do you not know what the reference was when I say Master of the House?
No, that sounds
Keeper
really.
Keeper of the Inn.
That, no, what is that?
Les Miserables.
Oh, okay. I don't like French things.
You don't like brie cheese?
I'm just kidding. Oh, no. Look at me. Do you think I ever said no to a brie cheese? Brie come to me. That's what they're going to put on my tombstone pizza.
All right. Well, after this, we are going to be joined by Johnny Beaner, who is comedian. Why do I keep saying that? Why do I want to say comedian? Even though I know female comics hate that. Neither of them have been female comics.
No, they haven't. And you're very right to know those things. You're very correct. I think when you're saying comedian, I think instead of delineating between the male and the female, I think you're just trying to be fancy and accent, but the comedian.
It's like what I say.
I'm talking about comedian.
It's like what I say. Like Elon Musk. Like that. It's just like trying to find a funny way to say it, but I also know that it's totally incorrect.
Elon Musk.
Johnny Beaner will be here after the break, but we are going to wrap up our conversation currently as far as. How many friends do you need?
Yeah. Anybody out there? Anyone out there want to be my friend?
Are you asking? Are you going to help want to sign up?
That scares me so much. I don't like being talked to after I get off stage. I don't want to meet people, random blind people, like blind friendship, if you will.
And it's interesting because I think there's probably the flip side of if you're in the point where you're like, I feel like I have enough friends.
Yeah.
The self-reflection and the self-awareness of, is that you just closing off and are you actually lonely and you're just denying it? Or do you really feel like you have enough friends? But then on the flip side of that, of when you feel like you don't have enough friends, is it because you actually need deeper friendships or because you're looking for attention and you just, the desire to be what you think means to be popular?
As someone who's never said outwardly, I need more friends. I don't know. I truly don't. I mean, I think it depends on the person. I mean, I can't imagine a celebrity saying, I need more friends. You know,
oh, I'm sure. I bet celebrities are wildly lonely.
Oh, absolutely. But they're also not looking for friends. Like, that's the only way they can. I mean, Conan O'Brien has a podcast called Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend.
Yeah.
And even though it's in jest, I still feel like there's a point where he's still saying it's lonely. It's hard to be a celebrity and do this and trust people and whatnot. And but guess what, Conan? It's hard when you're nobody, too.
But yeah, and it's also, I mean, there's a whole other level of busy.
Well, I mean, I'm not in any way, shape, or form comparing myself to Conan O'Brien. I'm much shorter than he is. I'm much shorter than he is.
Are you?
Yeah, he's like 6'8". I'm 6'2".
No, he's 6'4".
No, he's not. He's 6". Keep talking.
I'm going to keep talking. I don't think he's 6'8". Keep talking, tall potatoes. I'm pretty sure he's like 6'4", 6'5", at most, because he does not look like a freak when he's...
Really?
Like, because humble brag... I know very tall actors.
Oh, he is 6'4".
He's 6'4". Yep.
Thank you. Oh my gosh.
For some reason, I thought he was... Okay, you know what?
So you're 6'3", so you're basically the same size.
Okay, well, my point is I forgot what my point was because I was proved wrong by the internet. but no, like working in comedy and... This is going to sound like a humble brag as well, but like when you own a venue... The Laughing Tap. When you own a venue, when you have a certain position of power of like hiring, I get like a lot of messages from people like, hey, how's it going? What's going on? I'm like, 3, 2, 1. Can I play at your club sometime? Like, and that shouldn't bother me anymore, but it kind of does because I want to be like, hey, I'm a person. There's an email. Email us.
Yeah.
Don't act like my friend I've never met or like, you know, someone I haven't talked to in a while. And you're like, hey, buddy, what's going on? I haven't seen you in a while, man. What's going on with life? I really want to get in the club. Cool. Nice. All right. Sweet deal.
I don't own a venue, so I don't know what that's like.
But you're TikTok famous.
I'm not TikTok famous.
Your TikToks, as goes Wisconsin, voted top political satire TikTok from account. Something.
Just, I appreciate that you're trying to hype me up, but no. No, I mean, I think that is part of it. I think there is, I don't know, I find this interesting, and the headline obviously grabbed me as far as the actual science behind how this is tied to your health.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, and absolutely. The seriousness of which you should take it if you're feeling lonely, mm-hmm. and how much that is tied to your mental health and even potentially your physical health. But that it feels like a very nebulous, subjective thing of what does having friends mean? What does having close friends mean? And especially in an age of, it's easier than ever to connect to people. And yet the statistics of how many people feel lonely keeps going up.
Yeah.
Like 10 years ago, I think the article said it was, no, it's 12% now.
Okay.
10 years ago, it was 3%.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And so go ahead. Okay. And
but don't you think too that's partly the fault of social media, because people see things on Facebook and the assumption is everyone's life is so much better than mine and everyone has so many more friends than I do. And I think that's part of the problem.
The comparison game?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't blame social media. I'd blame my brain. And like looking at why, no, seriously, I would look at why do I think like that? Are there truths within it? And if they're not, how do I work to get myself out of that way of thinking? It's important work to do, especially when you're a person who wants to get out there and make friends. I know a lot of people who think they have a lot of friends and then they're constantly being hurt in ways that by your and my standards, not that big of a deal. It's just because they're putting themselves out so hard.
Yeah.
That they're just putting themselves out for failure because they're like, hi, you're you. I don't even know your last name. We're best friends. Mm-hmm. And then when you don't call or want me to hang out, I'm like, why don't they want to be friends with me? It's because you went too hard, bro. You went too hard.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap up the noon hour. We're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. When we come back, Johnny Beaner will be here to talk about comedy, re-recording comedy albums, and why one would do that. Greg Bach will still be here, and Brian Kelly's going to join us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
I'm John O'Hurley, and I support Paralyzed Veterans of America because our heroes have sacrificed so much for our independence.
I had just come home. I had noticed my legs were swelling. Next thing I know, it was 3 weeks later. I was paralyzed. PVA has brought me back to life.
While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. It left me paralyzed. I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
For more than 75 years, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to never leave a fallen hero behind. That's why Paralyzed Veterans of America is providing specialized medical care, life-changing treatments, benefits our heroes earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need. Our paralyzed veterans have helped us live the lives we enjoy today. It's our turn to give them the best lives possible. To learn more, go to pva.org.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM, and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.